long as it's a lot of rain, they can't see you chopping up trees.
Oh, maybe that's why I'm thinking
more person.
Yeah, you know, speaking of that,
that's why.
You know, in one of these, or in many of them, you don't like to compare, you know, what happened in the past to the current affairs. But this has two paragraphs of it. I actually saved it.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those, the handouts from, and they use an entire paragraph to compare what happened, what's happening today to the not reasonable.
It's a very easy comparison to make.
Right.
Oh, I know that. I know that. The problem is
you're handing it out in your own shul.
Well, that's a Torah Mitzion issue. I'm not gonna get involved with what Torah Mitzion does and doesn't hand out. But I can tell you that from my perspective, the problem with it is that sources are sources are very easy to interpret, and when you take class with a few exceptions, which are really sort of broad stroke issues, when you're dealing with the nuance of the political issues, it's too easy to say that the sources support my position, when objectively you could find 14 sources on the other side too. So I'm generally sanguine about trying to couch one's political views in halachic or biblical sources. They are certainly informed by what we know and how we perceive things. But generally speaking, it's an exercise that always has a second side to it.
But if people do it, I mean.
Yeah, people do it, but I don't have to do it myself, right? I just because somebody else does it doesn't mean that I have to do it. That's the prerogative of having the pulpit is that I get to exercise my own judgment on what does and what doesn't get said from the pulpit.
You know, what you take and what others take and how that, you know, how that actually evolves.
Shivim panim l'Torah. Right. Just as there are different views on religion and politics and different views on religious Zionism and different views on non-religious Zionism and different views on religious non-Zionism and get all kinds of shades of variations on a theme. Okay. Chapter 3. Oh yeah, we're moving along. That's it. We are moving along. Chapter 3. Okay. Chapter 3 and chapter 4 is one story, so we're going to go through them together, and today, for the most part, we're just going to go through the text, because I want to get a full picture of the events and the details, and then over the next couple of weeks, we will sort out much of the detail as best we can. So when I last encountered our heroes, Yehoshua's spies had just returned to Yehoshua, met him at the edge of, definitely there. Met him at the edge of the Yarden. Israel has journeyed from where they were encamped to the edge of the Yarden, a 3-day journey. Chapter 3. Vayashkem Yehoshua baboker, vayisu mehashitim, vayavo ad haYarden, hu v'chobnei Yisrael, vayelinu sham terem yavoru. They go from Shittim, they go on this 3-day journey, they end up at the edge of the Yarden, and there they encamp, or sleep over, the night before they are to cross. Remember, they cross on the 10th of Nisan, so this is the 9th of Nisan at night. 3-day journey. At the end of those 3 days, they're sitting at the edge of at the edge of the Arden. They're ready to cross, and the shotrim go and they walk amongst the people. And they instruct the people, saying as follows: Kirotchem et Aron Brit Hashem Elokechem. When you see the ark. Do I need to translate? I'm just looking around the room. All right. Okay. I think I have to translate for the tape, so all right.
That's right.
You have to translate for the tape. Oh, well. When you see the ark, carried by? No. Careful. HaKohanim HaLeviyim. Kohanim HaLeviyim is a phrase that is a reference to the Kohanim. It's a phrase that comes from Sefer Devarim, which is part of the... There's a whole field of study of the relationship between Sefer Yeshua and Sefer Devarim, like a continuity of language. In the rest of Chumash, the Kohanim are called Kohanim, and the Levim are called Levim. In Sefer Devarim, the Kohanim are referred to as HaKohanim HaLevim, and only in Sefer Devarim. They are the Kohanim, and they are a subset of the Levim. But they're referred to as Kohanim HaLevim at that point. So all discussion as to why, where that name comes from, I suspect that the generation that left Mitzrayim, the Kohanim were. Who were the Kohanim when they left Mitzrayim? Designated. Not I mean the before Chet Egel, etc. Who were the Aaron and his sons? That's it. There are five. A generation later, so you already have a larger family, and you have grandchildren, great grandchildren. You have essentially the beginning of a group of Kohanim that are associated with a particular tribe, namely the Levim. So at that point, they become referred to as HaKohanim HaLevim. But they are, in fact, Kohanim.
What about the Levim?
The Levim are the Levim.
Plain.
Just plain, ordinary Levim. Speaking as one of them, nothing particularly extraordinary about being a Levi. Anyway, no, it's a special schus. I can't say that. It's a schus I inherited from my father. I can't. V'akohanim ha-leviyim nosim oto, the Kohanim carrying the ark, v'atem tis'um himkomechem v'alachtem achavav. Remember, this is the Shatrim speaking to the people, instructing them that when they see the ark being carried by the Kohanim, and that's a chiddush, because the ark was usually carried by the Leviyim, b'nei kahat. This is a chiddush already, that the ark was to be carried by the Kohanim, the people will walk after the ark. Ach, rachok yiyeh b'neichem uveinav ke'alpayim amah b'mida. There has to be a distance of 2,000 amot between the ark and the people. Al tikrivu elav, don't approach, leman asher teidu et haderech asher telchuba, so that you will know the proper way to go. What is that referring to? That's a classic example of a dangling modifier. Right? Don't approach so that you should know the derech that you should go, or it will go in front of you in order to lead you on the derech that you should go. In other words, the phrase, L'man asher teidu et haderech, is that going back to what comes immediately before it, which is don't approach the ark too close so that you'll know which way to go, which is strange, or what's the non sequitur? Or is it referring back to the whole notion that the ark is going to go in front of you in order to lead you, guide you in the journey? Ki lo avartem baderech mitmol shulsham. For this is uncharted territory. They've never gone this journey before. ויאמר יהושע אל העם, התקדשו כי מחר יעשה השם בקרבכם נפלאות. Yeshua instructs the people prepare themselves. Lehitkadesh is to sanctify themselves, really to prepare themselves. The last time the phrase was used, Matan Torah, Vekidashtem Hayomu Machar. Very good. Kidashtem Hayomu Machar. Prepare yourselves for today and tomorrow. The phrase is exactly the same phrase. That's not an accident. Kimachar yaseh Hashem bekibachem niflaot. Tomorrow there will be wonders. Yes.
So could it also be that the statement before about staying away from the Aram could have reference to the boundaries as at Matan Torah?
It could very well be. The moment we start with a parallel to Matan Torah, right, then yes, then you'll find a number of parallels, including the fact that there was a distance created between the Shekhinah and the people, and there's a distance there too. No question. Vayomer Yehoshua el haKohanim lemor. Then we turn our attention to the Kohanim. Se'u et Aron habrit ve'ivru lifnei Hashem, lifnei ha'am. Carry the ark and walk before the people. So which goes first? What goes first? The ark. The ark goes first. Vayisu et Aron habrit. And they do, they take the ark and they carry it before the people. Vayomer Hashem el Yehoshua, Hayom hazeh achel gadelcha be'enei kol Yisrael. Today I will make you great. Interesting statement, right? Today you will become great. I will make you great. Gadelcha. Or I will begin to make you great. Even better, Achel Gadelcha. I will begin to make you great in the eyes of the people. Asher yedun ki kasher hayiti im Moshe yeimach, because they will know that the link between Moshe and Yeshua is complete. As God was with Moshe, He will be with Yeshua. Because what's going to draw that link? The splitting of the sea. Moshe's greatest performance, if you will, was Kriyat Yamsuf. Yeshua's journey begins with the splitting of the Yarden. V'ata tetzaveh haKohanim nosei Aron habrit lemor, kivarachem ad k'tzei mehayarden b'yarden. Let me do that again. Kivarachem ad k'tzei mehayarden b'yarden ta'amodu. When you get to the edge of the Yarden, go into the Yarden, stay there. Go into the waters and stand. In other words, the ark is going to go into the water, and instead of carrying through till the end of the side and let the people walk behind, as we have by Kriyat Yamsuf, where Moshe went to the other side and Bnei Yisrael came through, here the Aron is going to stay in the middle of the water. Because what's holding the water back is the Aron. As long as the Aron stays there, the water will hold back. Vayomer Yehoshua Bnei Yisrael, Goshu hena v'shimu et divrei Hashem elokecha. Yeshua calls the people over and he says, listen to God's words. Vayomer Yehoshua bezot teidun ki kel chai bekibachem. With this you will know that living God is amongst you. V'oresh yorish mipnechem et haknani v'et hachiti v'et hachivi v'et hapisi v'et hakigashi v'hamori v'hayivusi. And he will expel the seven nations of Canaan before you. This conquest begins here. Notice all seven nations are mentioned. Not always are they mentioned. Sometimes there's only six. Here there are seven. Hine Aron habrit adon kol haaretz. The ark of the covenant of the master of the earth. Aron habrit adon kol haaretz. It's a pun there, by the way, in case you haven't figured it out. Lashon nefela lashon. In Aron and Adon. A very subtle distinction between Aron and Adon, the Resh and the Dalet. Hine Aron habrit Adon kol aretz over lifnechem b'yarden. Going before you in the Yarden. Yatak chulechem shnei asar ish mishiftei Yisrael. Designate 12 people from the tribes of Israel. Ish echad l'shavet. Clearly one per tribe. V'ayah kenoach kapot raglei ha'kohanim. Nosei Aron Hashem Adon Kol Haaretz, when the Kohanim will put their feet in the B'mei HaYarden into the waters, the Kohanim will carry the Aron of God, Master of the Earth, Aron Hashem Adon Kol Haaretz, again that same phrase, Mei HaYarden Yikaretun, the waters of the Yarden will split, Hamayim HaYordim Milamalo VeYamdu Ned Echad, the waters coming down from the north will stop into one, what's a ned? Column, one pillar. It's a phrase, where else is the word ned used? Say it again. Oh. Uveruach apecha ne'ermu mayim nitzvu kimoned nozlim kafu tohomot belev yam. Shirat hayam, the wind uprooted the water or shook up the water. It stood like a column. Nitzvu kimoned nozlim, that which normally flows, kafu tohomot belev yam. The depths froze in the depths of the sea. That's the description of Kriyat Yamsuf. So here you have a similar idea that the waters would stand like a ned. Mm-hmm. Well, what we picture of Kriyat Yam Suf, you have to be careful. What we picture of Kriyat Yam Suf is often based on Cecil B. DeMille's variation. And the best way to dispel that image is to go visit Universal Studios in Los Angeles and take the little tram ride through Kriyat Yam Suf. And you know, it's this big and it's a little waterfall. And you say, okay, fine, done. Yeah, that's over. Now we can get on to the real thing. There is such a midrashic interpretation. What is clear, Kriyat Yam Suf, is that the water, v'amayim lahem choma miminam umismolam. By Kriyat Yam Suf, the water stood at both sides, and there was a pillar at both ends. In other words, the water came to a point at which it was a wall on each side. What is not so for Kriyat Yarden? In Kriyat Yarden, it's one-sided. V'yamdu ned echad, one pillar. All the water coming down, because the water streams downstream, right, south. And so if you dam up the water at one end, the rest of the water will flow and will flow out. So you really only need to stop it at one point. Whereas by Kriyat Yam Suf, it's not a flowing river. So to walk through the middle of it, you have to separate it out from both ends. That's from a practical point of view. There's also the depth of the miracle, which is doubly as significant in the context of Kriyat Yam Suf as it is by Kriyat Yarden. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vahi b'nisoa ha'amim mi'o'alehem, as the people, they broke camp, they started to travel, lavor et ha'yarden, v'akohanim nosei ha'aron ha'brit lifnei ha'am. I've lost track how many times now it's told us that the Kohanim carrying the ark walked before the people. Interesting exercise when we finish, count them. How many times does it say that the Kohanim carried the ark and that they carried the ark before the people? Ukivon nosei ha'aron ad ha'yarden v'ragle ha'kohanim nosei ha'aron. There's another one. Nitbelu b'kze amayim. They get to the edge of the Yarden, the feet of the Kohanim touch the waters, the Kohanim carrying the ark touch the water. V'ha'yarden male al kol gdotav. Kol Yimei Katzir. And the Yarden was filled to its banks on both sides all the days of the harvest. Anybody ever see the Yarden? Filled to its banks, you could probably jump it.
Maybe at this time it was a little bit fuller.
We'll get to that issue. We will get to that issue. That is absolutely correct. I think at that time it was a lot fuller. But we will get there. But it's an interesting observation. The image that we have of the Yarden it's not even a river. It's a it's a trickle, and you know, male al kol gedotav. It's overflowing. Okay, it's about so what is it? A foot and a half high instead of 2 inches. Clearly, in those days, the Yarden was bigger. V'yamdu hamayim hayordim milamala kemuned echad. All the water coming down from the north stood as one pillar. Harchek me'od, very far away. Me'adam ha'ir asher mitzad tzortan vayordim al yam ha'arava yam ha'melech tamu nichratu. The water was stopped at a place called Adam ha'ir, a city called Adam, near Tzortan. And as it came down, the water that was still flowing emptied out into yam ha'melech. Ve'am avdu neged Yericho. And the people are crossing at Yericho. Here's a little map in case you're looking for a map. I like maps. Pass one down over there. There's some extras. Okay, there's a map here too. But the reason I like this map is because it shows you where Adam Ha'ir is. If you take a look, this is a blow up of this region here, from the northern tip of Yam HaMelech up through the Jordan River. The people are crossing at Yericho, which is right here in the middle. Adam Ha'ir is just south of the intersection between the Yabok River and the Jordan River. Right, that intersection is called Adam Ha'ir. There's a road that goes from Adam or from Tzortan that leads right up to Shechem. That's the road that's written on this map. You see it? Derech Mavo HaShemesh? Okay, that's the road that goes straight to Shechem. That's the road actually that Yaakov takes on his journey back from the house of Lavan, because if you remember, where does Yaakov have that famous struggle with the Ish all night long? By the Yabok. The Yabok is here. And he's coming down, Lavan is coming down from the north. He reaches the Yabok River, crosses the Yabok River, or takes everybody else across the river, stays on the other side. Right? That's the Yabok River. When that episode is finished, when he reaches the Yabok River, he sees a camp of angels. Talked about that last week a little bit. Machanaim is on the banks of the Yabok River. We'll get to Machanaim; it'll be relevant to the rest of the later on in this parak. So that's the journey Yaakov takes, and when he finishes encountering Esav here, it says that he went to Shechem. Right. When Yaakov comes back to Eretz Yisrael, the first place he comes to is Shechem. From Adam Ha'ir, there's a road through this, I don't know if you can see it here, but there's a valley that runs through into Shechem that's called Derech Mavo HaShemesh. Why is it called Derech Mavo HaShemesh? Correct. Because Mavo HaShemesh, Biyat Shemesh is sunset. Biyat Shemesh is sunset. Derech Mavo HaShemesh is a west road. So the road, and there aren't that many roads that run west in Israel. Remember, most of the roads run north-south. So Derech Mavo HaShemesh is the road that runs from the Jordan River to Shechem west. That's where the water splits. That's where this wall is. You have to ask yourself a question, which we're not going to address today, but we will address at some point in the next couple of weeks, is if Bnei Israel are crossing here at the Jordan, why did the water split so far north? A couple good 10, 12 kilometers north? That's an interesting question. Why do I need the water to split so high, so far north? We'll talk about that. But the people are crossing at Yericho. The water flows out into Yam HaMelech, stopped at Adam Ha'ir. What's in between is now dry. Yes. Yes. They were known. They had names. They're referred to in Sefer Breshit. Derech Eretz Pushtim, Derech HaMelech, Derech Mavo HaShemesh. Derech Mavo HaShemesh is referred to in Sefer Dvarim. Anybody know where? I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit, but the description of the blessings and curses on Har Gerizim and Har Eval, the Torah describes the location of Shechem, or location of the two mountains near Shechem. Halohema be'ever ha'yardein, these mountains are on the west of the Jordan, acharei derech mavo ha'shemesh, past the road, the west road, be'eretz ha'knani ha'yoshev ba'arava mula gilgal etzel elonei moreh. All of that description to get to Shechem, Elanei Moreh Shechem. That's where we know where Har Gerizim and Har Eval are. Beginning of Pashat Re'eh. So these roads were well known and well documented. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayamdu haKohanim Nosei HaAron Brit Hashem. No, how many? What are we up to? At least. Right? Vayamdu haKohanim Nosei HaAron Brit Hashem b'Charava b'Toch HaYarden. The Kohanim, carriers of the Ark, standing in the dry land in the middle of the Yarden, Hachen, ready, v'Chol Yisrael Ovrim b'Charava Ad Asher Tamu Kol HaGoy La'Avor Ato Yarden. And the entire people crossed on dry land. The whole thing is dried out. Create yams of v'mayim lehem chomam miminam umismolam. Either one or many, but yeah. Correct. It dries out the yard. Just dries out the whole area. Yeah. But remember, the water is still flowing from the north. So as the water is still flowing, what happens to the water? It builds up. And right, if you dam up the water coming down, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's got nowhere to go. So as the pillar begins to grow, it gets taller and taller and taller. That's what it's called, eh?
A column.
A column, right. From at least from the perspective of the way we saw it, it's certainly a growing column.
But the 3 million people to pass it has to be wet, wide, and also at the end.
Well, it has to be wide. The question is how long it takes to cross, but we'll get to that issue too. How wide is the camp of Israel? We'll get to that. Well, 600,000 adult males above the age of 20. Well, wives, you have to 1.2 million, plus children. Average 6 per household. Vayomer Hashem el Yehoshua le'mor. K'chu lechem min ha'am 12 anashim, ish echad mishavet. 12 people, one per tribe. V'tzavu otam le'mor, su'u lechem mizeh mitoch ha'yarden, mimatzav ragle ha'kohanim. Go and take from the Yarden, from under the feet of the Kohanim. From the way where they were standing. Hachin 12 avanim. 12 stones you will take, v'havartem otam imachem, take them with you. What are you going to do with them? V'inachtem otam b'malona shetalinu bo alayla, and take them with you to the hotel. Right, take you with you to the camp wherever you're going to stay tonight. What are you going to do with them eventually? Doesn't say. address an issue we will address. We know what they do with these stones. What do they do with these stones? Excuse me? They schlep them up to Hargrizim and Harevel. So there's a long journey ahead of them, but we'll get to that. Vayikra Yehoshua el shnem ha'asar ish asher hechin mibnei Yisrael. Yehoshua calls over these pre-prepared 12 designated people. Ish echad ish echad mishavet. Vayomer lehem Yehoshua, ivru lifnei Aron Hashem Elokechem el toch ha'yarden. Go walk before the Aron. Harimu lachem ish even achat al shichmo lemispar shiftei bnei Yisrael. And take these stones, one per tribe. They weren't like little stones like this. You know, they weren't pebbles. They were boulders. Leman tiye zot ot bekir bechem. What are you doing this for? Because it's going to be an ot for your children after you. Ki ish alun b'nechem machar lemor. When your children after you will ask, saying, sounds like we're ready for Pesach. Ma ha'avanim ha'ela lachem, what are these stones for you? Va'amartem lahem, and you will say to them, asher nichretu mimei ha'yarden mipnei Aron brit Hashem. Because the ark split, the ark of God went into the Yarden and it split the water. Ba'avru ha'yarden nichretu mimei ha'yarden, and when we passed through, the Yarden split. And they will be a testimony. It's exactly the same structure as the four questions, as structure of the Torah. There's, as I said before, there are many parallels in language between Yeshua and Chumash. That's not an accident. It's a kind of continuity factor. They did exactly as Yeshua instructed. They took these 12 stones. How many? 12. Here's another exercise. Count how many times the text tells me that there are 12 and that they are 12 because there are 12 tribes. There are several themes in this parak that repeat themselves over and over and over again. They become we call them, well, besides redundant, we there's a reason for the redundancy, and we call it a milat mancha, a guide word, key text that tells me what's going on in this parak. Ve'avirum imam el amalon ve'enichu sham, they take them with them. They don't know what to do with them. They just take them with them. Second of all, u'shteimesre avanim hekim Yehoshua betoch ha'yarden tachat matzav raglei ha'kohanim nosei Aron ha'brit. 12 more stones that were put where? In the Yarden, under the feet of the Kohanim who are carrying the ark. Never forget that the Kohanim carry the ark. Just in case you were wondering. Vayusham ad hayom hazeh. And there they shall remain. We're still looking for them, but they're there. Ve'akohanim nosei ha'aron. I told you, go count the number of times that it tells me that the Kohanim are carrying the ark. Omdim b'toch ha'yarden ad tom kol ha'davar she'tziva Hashem et Yehoshua ledaber al ha'am v'chol ha'she'tziva Moshe et Yehoshua v'yemaru ha'am v'yavodu. This is all on the basis of an instruction that Moshe gave to Yehoshua, which they are fulfilling. And the Kohanim stood there in the Yarden until all of this was fulfilled. Everybody crossed over. Then the ark and the Kohanim carrying the ark came next. And they're ready to walk into Eretz Yisrael. Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh, Chamushim. What's Chamushim? Armed. Right, and that's the pasuk, by the way, that I believe the pasuk that Rashi quotes on the pasuk in beginning of Parshat Bashalach. Karbaim elef chalutzei hatzava, 40,000 soldiers, avru lifnei Hashem lemilchama el arvot Yericho. the fighting force of Reuven, Gad, and Menashe is 40,000 soldiers. That's not the whole tribe of Reuven, Gad, and Menashe. It's about a third. But they are rotating along the way. Bayom ha'hu gidal Hashem et Yehoshua be'enei ko Yisrael. Hashem did exactly what he promised Yehoshua he would do. On that day, he made Israel, made Yehoshua great in their eyes. Ve'yidu oto kasher yar'u et Moshe ko yimei chayav. The reverence for Yehoshua was equal to the reverence for Moshe. That's a very ironic statement. In many ways, the reverence was greater. Moshe was certainly greater than Yehoshua. There's nobody who parallels Moshe. But as far as the relationship with the people, it would not be a stretch to say that the reverence the people had for Yehoshua was greater than the reverence they had, or the fear that, or the respect they had for Moshe. Why do I say that? Moshe had a very tenuous and challenging relationship with Bnei Israel. Just look at the number of times the people attempt to rebel against him and his leadership. It's not only rebellion against God, it's also against Moshe and Aaron. And the number of times that they say, Nitna Rosh Menashuba Mitzrayim, or Lama Elotanu Mitzrayim, why did you take us out, send us, let's go back, whether it be Memeriv or Chetam Meraglim or Korach, or one rebellion after another. In all of Sefer Yehoshua, and in Yehoshua's entire life, there is not one rebellion, or an attempt of rebellion, there is not one instance recorded of the people saying to Yehoshua, why? Yeah, not once.
But they weren't the same B'nai Israel. I mean, in a way...
Well, they are the same generation that stood at Meriva and said to Moshe, why did you take us out of Egypt to cause us to die in the wilderness in thirst? Would that we could go back to Egypt, or let us die in the wilderness? And Moshe hits the rock, and then he gets punished. Meriva, the beginning of Parshat Chukat, is the same generation.
But they were babies, and they needed to learn, and they needed to find out.
There's a month and a half between Meriva and here. We're talking about... I'm not talking about the generation that left Egypt. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the second generation. They're still rebelling against Moshe. Okay. The mystery of Bnei Israel is that it's not, you know, there's this myth that they need a generation to mature, and that's why they need a generation to mature for other reasons, but there's just as rebellion against Moshe in the second generation as there were against the first generation. Moshe has a very strange relationship with Bnei Israel. And there's all kinds of reasons for it, but that's beyond the scope of our discussion for now. I just wanted to make the observation that when it says that they feared Yehoshua like they feared Moshe, maybe they feared them both equally, but there's certainly a difference in the relationship, and that's something which is an interesting observation. Vayomer Hashem Yehoshua lemor, Tzaveh et ha-kohanim nos'ei Aaron ha-edut. Anybody keeping a running tally? Instruct the Kohanim carriers of the Aron. Ve'alumina Yarden. Get him out of there. Ve'itzav Yeshua at the Kohanim lemoi alumina Yarden. Yeshua does so. He says, come up. It's time to come up. Vahi. Ka'alot ha-Kohanim nos'ei Aron brit Hashem. As the Kohanim literally emerge mitoch Yarden, nitku kapot raglei ha-Kohanim al ha-charava. The moment their feet hit the dry land, the waters returned to their place. And they flowed as they flowed in days before. This you get the sense that there's this instantaneous restoration of the waters of the Arden? The moment the Kohanim kind of touched dry land, the waters returned. That's also not an accident. Part of the distinction between Nes and Teva is not so much what happens, but the timing in which it happens. That's a significant issue b'chlal in understanding the Nisim of Tanakh. There's very few recorded Nisim that are trans that are truly suspensions of nature in the sense of the mechanism involved. Even Kriyat Yam Suf, which is supposed to be the greatest example, the greatest miracle, Kriyat Yam Suf takes place by an east wind that blows all night long. Ruach Kadim Aza Kol Halayla. Right? And that was not an accident. That was intentional. That was designed so that there's a perception of nature so that the Egyptians go running after them. Right? But how does the water of the Yam Suf get restored? The miracle of Kriyat Yam Suf is not in the splitting of the sea. Well, that's not the issue. I'll show you why I mean. There is some theory that every couple of centuries the Yam Suf dries up. There is such a theory. The skeptics love to quote it. But the pasuk says, "Vayet Moshe al Yado." I'm in Perek Yudalel, Shmot Perek Yudalel, pasuk of Aleph. "Vayet Moshe et Yado al Yam, vayolech Hashem et Yam beruach kadim aza kol halayla." Moshe stretched forth his staff. An east wind blew all night long. Vayasem et hayam lacharava. And it dried up the water. All night long. Looks pretty natural to me. But. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'toch hayam b'yabasha. Vayirdufu Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim goes running after them. Vayomer Hashem et Moshe. And Moshe. Netei et yatcha al hayam. V'yashuvu ha'mayim al Mitzrayim, al Rikbo v'al Parashav. Now, Moshe, take your staff and restore the water over Egypt and their chariots. V'yet Moshe et yado al hayam, v'yasem hayam lifnot boker le'etano. When does the water get restored? By dawn. In other words, all night long it's being held in bay by an east wind. Come the morning dawn, Israel is out and Egypt are in. Terrifying. In the blink of an eye, the water gets restored. The miracle of Kriyat Yam Suf is not the splitting of the sea, it's the restoration of the sea, which drowns the Egyptian army. And that's why if you look at Shirat Hayam, Shirat Hayam is all about the soldiers drowning in the sea. There's half a word about Nitzvu kmo ned kafut hamot b'lev yam. It's half a sentence about the pillars of water. The rest of the entire shira is about Hashem ish milchama. It's about the Egyptian chariot. The restoration was much quicker than the split, and that essentially was the powerful depiction of the depth of the miracle. You have a similar situation here. I don't know how long it took for the Yarden to split. But there's this emphasis that it was restored the moment the Kohanim hit dry land. The moment they hit dry land, instantly. Pasuk, where are we up to? Where are we up to? Perek Dalet, you mean? Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yutet. Okay. Va'amalu mine Yarden be'asor lachodesh harishon ve'yachanu be'Gilgal k'tzei mizrach Yericho. The people come out of the Yarden on the 10th of Nisan. Here we have that date. We referred to this Pasuk earlier. And they encamp at Gilgal. There they shall remain for many, many years. 14 years to be precise. Ve'etshtem esrei ha'avanim ha'ela shelakhu min ha'yarden hekim Yeshua ba'Gilgal. These 12 stones they take and they set up in Gilgal. Vayomer b'nei Yisrael lemor asher yish'alun b'nechem machar et avotam lemor ma ha'avanim ha'ela, so that your children will ask you, what are these stones? Vodatem et b'nechem lemor, and you will instruct your children, you will teach them, saying, v'yabasha v'yisrael et ha'yarden hazeh. We cross the Yarden in dry land. Asher ovish Hashem Elokechem et me ha'yarden mipnechem ad ovrechem. God dried it out before you till you passed. Asher asa Hashem Elokechem liyam suf. Asher hovish mipanenu ad ovreinu. exactly the same way that God did to Yam Suf as we pass through. The parallel decree at Yam Suf is not tangential. It's first and foremost in their consciousness. Leman dat kol amei haaretz et yad Hashem ki chazakai, so that all of the people of the land will know the hand of God, for it is strong. Yad chazaka. Look at all the imagery that parallels Yitziat Mitzrayim. Leman yira'atem et Hashem alokechem kol hayamim, so that you will fear God all the days of your life. Did it work? Vayhi kishmoa kol malchei ha'emori asher be'ever ha'yarden. All of the kings of the Amorites on the other side of the Yarden heard Yama, the west side, v'chol malchei ha'knani asher alayam, and all of the Canaanites at the sea, et asher ovish Hashem et mehe yarden mipnei b'nei Yisrael, that God dried up the Yarden, ad ovram, vayimas levavam v'lo hayabam od ruach mipnei b'nei Yisrael. Their hearts melted. Without ruach here we're referring to spirit or courage, without the courage before to fight b'nei Yisrael. So did it work? I think it's pretty effective. So, what do we have? What are our issues? What are our issues here? There are several. We're not going to get to them today. We're going to list them today. Number one. Kohanim. Nosei Aaron Brit Hashem Adon Haaretz. That's an interesting phrase. Combination of various phrases in the text, but you have this reference to the Kohanim. Kohanim Halevi'im, carriers of the Ark. That's a Chiddush. The Kohanim never did carry the Ark. The Levi'im carried the Ark. Suddenly the Kohanim are carrying the Ark. Fine, tell me that once. How many times? I didn't count them. You can count them. But there's at least 10 references to Kohanim Nosei Ha'aron. Can't talk about the Kohanim without referring to them as Kohanim Nosei Ha'aron. You can't talk about the Aron without talking about the fact that the Aron has been carried by the Kohanim. That's issue number one. Issue number two, the 12 stones. What are these stones? Kimispar Shiftei B'nai Yisrael, in accordance with it. And how many sets of stones are there? There's at least two in this parak. One that are set up Tachat Raglei HaKohanim, Matzav Raglei HaKohanim, and there's another set that are set up, that are taken with them and set up in Gilgal. We will see a third set up in Shechem. And HaGrizim and HaReval, Machloket Rishonim, whether or not that's the same one as Gilgal. It just gets moved. Third issue. Third issue. The third issue is a little more subtle. I wasn't going to put this one on quite yet. It was related to this. So it goes in between. The third issue has to do with the structure of how they walk through the Yarden. From the very beginning of Perek Gimel, the structure is set out that who leads them first? No. Who leads them first? Who leads them through? Who leads B'nai? So who's at the front line? Who's literally the front line of this march? The Kohanim. The Aaron. Aaron went first. That's very odd and very out of character, because when they marched through the desert, the tribes went first and the Aaron went in the middle. So the whole structure of how they walk through the Yam Suf is unique, because God goes out of his way to tell Yeshua to take the Aaron carried by the Kohanim and move it to the front of the line. 2,000 cubits in front of the line. They're not allowed to approach it. There's a 2,000, right? There's an Alpayim Amad distance between the people in the ark, at least till they get to the Arden. That's a question we will have to address. And the fourth issue that I want to address in this perek, which is probably going to be our most significant issue, we'll spend some time on it, is how many different reasons are given for the need to split the Arden. How many different reasons are articulated in the text? We'll come up with one or two additional ones. But how many different reasons articulated in the text for why God split the Arden? I'll show you, with this we will end today, because I have to end a few minutes early, but I'll just show you a few. Perek Gimel Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer Hashem El Yehoshua Hayom Azeh Achel Gadelcha Be'enei Kol Yisrael Asher Yedun Ki Kasher Hayiti Im Moshe Eyeh Imach. Reason number one. Yehoshua starts as Moshe starts. Parallel Yehoshua and Moshe. Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud. Vayom, next Pasuk. Oh, two psukim later. Vayom Yehoshua bezot teidun ki kel chai bekirbechem. V'horesh yorish mipnechem et haklani, etc. Second reason. So B'nai Yisrael should know that God is with them. Perek Dalet. End of Perek Dalet. Right? The 12 stones, so that Bnei Yisrael will know that we crossed in dry land. So that all of the nations of the world will know God's strong hand. So that you will fear God. How many different reasons do I now have? How many times does it say Leman? I have at least three, probably four. Because this is two of them. Right? So the nations will fear God, so that you will fear God. So that you will know that there's a living God amongst you. To make Yehoshua great. Add to that the possibility that they have to split the Arden because the Arden is too big to cross. Just the necessity of crossing. There's at least five. Maybe six. One more. So we will explore each one of these, and the question of why there are so many different reasons is because it's a multi-dynamic scenario. This the achievement of Kriyat HaYarden achieves many different things, and they're all part of the overall intent, all part of the overall agenda. Not one per se, but all of them together. And so we will explore, Bezrat Hashem, what each one means. All right. We'll get to that too. We'll get to that too, exactly what the stones were and what their purpose was. We'll get to that too.